Exploring the Word is brought to you by Reclaiming America for Christ and the Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond, Oklahoma. This is Pastor Paul Blair. Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Exploring the Word. Today we're going to be preaching a message of encouragement and comfort found from one of the most encouraging and famous passages found in the Old Testament. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Proverbs. Today's message will come from chapter 3, verse 5. The message title is, Trust in the Lord.
We welcome you to the radio ministry of Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond. We invite you to join with us for today's Exploring the Word. Here's Pastor Paul Blair.
Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3, if you will. This will be a different message than any that I have ever preached, folks. We will cover some things very specifically, but as a watchman on the wall, as the chief watchdog of this church, as the under-shepherd of this congregation, these subjects must be covered because we do not live in an idealistic world, we live in a realistic world. So we're going to talk about some things that perhaps might make you uncomfortable and say, when I went to this other church, I didn't feel that uncomfortable. Well, folks, we're going to preach the truth, whether that makes it uncomfortable or not. And Lord, have mercy on America. Maybe there'll be a day when all preachers get back to preaching the truth, regardless of whether it makes you uncomfortable or not. Verse 1, chapter 3, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. This is our text verse. And lean not on thine own understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And that shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine or plenty vintage. The grapes and olives were some of the blessings in Israel. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father, the son in whom he delights. As a parent, there are times when we have to make decisions for our children that they don't understand. And frequently, those decisions are met with questions. Why? Dad, I'd rather do this than that. Dad, do I really have to do what you've asked me to do? Parents have to make tough decisions, not taking the easy out, and in some cases even going against our own hearts when we might prefer to take the easy decision, but we know that we've been charged with not taking the easy way out, but with making the right decision in raising our children. I was blessed on Friday night as Joshua and I were driving back, just the two of us. We'd played a game in Thomas, Oklahoma. Christian Heritage Academy, this is their first year in OSSAA. And I'll tell you, they won the district championship on Friday night. And I'm so proud of these boys. There's not a team that we've played this year that we're bigger than, stronger than, or faster than. But we've got a whole team of boys with tremendous character, great heart, and they fight to the end. The reason, I tell you what, we've got not only a good bunch of boys, but we've got a great bunch of coaches, except for that offensive line coach. He's a little cantankerous. But these coaches pray before, after, with each other, with the boys. This is a genuine group. And as Joshua and I were driving home from Thomas, it was about an hour and a half drive, he said, thank you, Dad, for making me go to CHA. He said, it's a great school, I have great friends, and I love it there. I tell you, that is a blessing for me to hear, because 15 months ago, we were engaged in quite a struggle. Joshua was coming out of Oakdale, and he wanted to go to Memorial, where all of his friends were going. But we knew that that wasn't an option. Of all the choices, we knew that CHA was the right choice, But it was the most difficult choice, and it was the least convenient of our choices. We thought about compromising and sending them over here to OCS, which we had some familiarity with. They certainly were closer, but we prayed hard, and we made the tough decision, but it was the right decision. And I told Joshua Friday night, I said this, I said, "Son, you can trust us. We won't be perfect as parents, at least not your mother. But we will always make the right decision with your best interest in mind." Folks, sometimes those decisions deal with discipline and correction because of disobedience. And again, the question arises, "Dad, do you really have to punish me for this?" Never do we enjoy employing punishment. In every case, we as parents would simply have preferred obedience rather than disobedience and not be forced to have to take action. But in every case, the answer to your child is this: "Trust me, I'm your father, you're my responsibility, and this is the appropriate action." Ladies and gentlemen, we have a Father in heaven that is all-powerful, that is all-knowing, that is ever-present, that is the creator of all, that is the sustainer of all, a perfect heavenly Father. And the scripture says that His ways are far above our ways, and His thoughts are far above our thoughts, and we can always trust our heavenly Father. We can always trust in the Lord. And not only can we trust in Him when it makes sense to us, but we can trust in Him even when our own understanding may disagree. Ladies and gentlemen, our God is in control, and we can fully trust in the Lord. There are three brief points that I want to make today, considering the day that we are in. First of all, know that we can trust God's correction. Not only does common sense teach us that you reap what you sow, but that's also a scriptural precept as well. Paul wrote to the church in Galatia, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." The scripture says in Proverbs, by the writer of Proverbs, "He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity." No man should be surprised when bad crops start to come in from bad seed that's been sown. And no nation should be surprised either. God deals with individuals, and He calls individuals, and He uses individuals. But God also deals with nations, and He calls nations, and He uses nations to accomplish His will. We know the scripture tells us in great detail how God chose the nation of Israel. God had promised Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, and God had reaffirmed that promise in Genesis chapter 15 and said that after 400 plus years in captivity, I'd bring you out and I'd make you a mighty people, and you're going to be my lighthouse to the world. And God placed them right where He placed them on purpose. Israel was not by accident. It's right in the middle of everything. You got Europe to the northwest. You've got Asia to the north. You've got the Far East, obviously east. You've got Arabia down there to the southeast. You've got Africa down below. Right in the middle is Israel. And they were to be a lighthouse to the Goyim, to the Gentile people, drawing the Gentiles to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But Israel disobeyed. And Israel turned her back on God. And God sent prophets to warn them, but the people refused. God sent oppression and famine and various means of correction, but the people refused to hear, and ultimately God chastened the nation of Israel severely through the oppression of the Babylonian invaders. Folks, the common thought by ancient people was that if our God is greater than your God, then we'll win the battle. That is not the case. There is but one God, and His name is not Allah. His name is Elohim. His name is called Jehovah. He was manifested to us in the person of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. Amen. It wasn't the Babylonian gods that were greater than the God of Israel, because there were no false gods. It was the God of Israel that used this nation of Babylon as an instrument of justice to chastise and correct His disobedient child, Israel. But even in the midst of those corrective measures, God was still full of mercy, and His hand was still extended to them, sending His prophets to stomp their feet and to clap their hands and to try to turn the hearts of the people back to God. And even in the midst of God's strong hand of correction, He still had prophets there trying to teach the people and call them back to God. There was Jeremiah in Jerusalem. that suffered worse than many of the heathen that were there. And I mean heathen, those were those that had apostates, that had turned from worshiping God. Even though they were Jews, they were worshiping Chemosh and Moloch and Ashtaroth and other false gods. Yet Jeremiah was there in the city trying to minister to the people, calling them back to repentance, even during this time of national crisis and national trouble. There was Ezekiel in the refugee city called Tel Aviv, some 50 miles south of Babylon. He also was ministering to the Jewish refugees that were there, that had been taken captive in the conquest, trying to call their hearts back to repentance and back to Almighty God. And of course, there was Daniel that had been taken with the first captivity of Jerusalem. And he was actually in the throne himself, or in the palace himself, ministering and counseling Nebuchadnezzar himself. But folks, God was still at work, and is still at work, by the way, with the nation of Israel. Even in this day, God is not through with Israel. Romans chapter 11, verse 2 will tell you that he's not done with Israel. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 21 will tell you that he's not done with Israel. Isaiah 44, 9 will tell you that he's not done with Israel. Isaiah 48, 11 will tell you that he's not done with Israel. Jeremiah 46, verse 28 tells us that he was correcting Israel. It says, "Fear thou not, O Jacob, my servant, saith the Lord, for I am with thee, for I will make a full end of those nations whither I've driven you, but I will not make a full end of you, but I will correct you in measure, yet will I not leave you wholly unpunished." The nation of Israel, whom God called his son in Hosea 11, has been sorely punished for her disobedience. Now, I want to make another point. Although Israel holds a unique place in God's heart, God's love and mercy is also extended towards Gentile nations. We ought to praise the Lord for that, because we're a Gentile nation. But not all Gentile nations. In fact, God even says in the scriptures that he hates some Gentile nations. Do you know the difference between those that God loves and those that God hates? It's those that fear the Lord. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he have called for his inheritance. Ladies and gentlemen, the United States of America has been the recipients of the most bountiful blessing of God's ability to keep that promise. There is no other reason that America should have flourished the way we have flourished. Our land is not more fertile than that in Russia or that of South America. In fact, it's less fertile. We don't have more oil reserves than they have in the Middle East or even what they have in Russia. We don't have smarter people than what they have in Western Europe. We are the descendants of those people that came over from Western Europe. The reason America has been the mighty power, has been the lighthouse to reach the world in evangelism, the reason America has prospered the way we have is God's promise in Psalm 33, where he said, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." We have honored God, we've loved God, we've been faithful to God, we've depended on God, and we have lived in obedience to God generally throughout the history of our country. There are only two nations that were ever established on a covenant with God. One was Israel, the other is the United States of America. And as God has been faithful to us, because we have been faithful to him, so has God poured his blessings out upon us. But as surely as we turn our backs on him, if there is a just God in heaven who rained down fire on Sodom and Gomorrah, if there is a just God in heaven that punished Israel for her apostasy, certainly America cannot stand if we continue to turn our backs. What was once a nation founded on Jesus Christ. You go look at some of the documents we have now hanging in our hallway. You go read the Declaration of Independence, please. I wish somebody in Washington would read it again. You go read our Bill of Rights. You go read our Constitution. You go look at that first prayer in Congress. That's where it all began, men on their knees. But look at us now. We have aborted almost 50 million babies since 1973. Yet we still have the audacity to say, "God bless America." We have legalized through out-of-control judges homosexual marriage now in 3 states. We teach Islam in our schools, but we can't teach the Bible in our schools. We've got a report this week that a textbook that's now being used across the country called Across the Centuries has 6 pages devoted to Judaism, 6 pages devoted to Christianity, and 55 pages devoted to Islam in our public schools, teaching kids the 5 pillars of the Islamic faith, teaching our kids to say, Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater than the God of the Jews. Allah is greater than the God of the Gentiles. We teach our children Darwinism, but it's illegal to teach them intelligent design. I want you to understand, the same sins that God called Israel to account for, baby murder as they offered their children in the fires of Moloch and Ashtaroth and Baal, homosexuality and immorality, which God condemned, the worshiping of false gods, which we're doing right now by endorsing the worship of Islam in our educational system, the worshiping of no true God, or denying the existence of a true God, is what we're doing when we endorse Darwinism being taught in our schools. The very same sins that Israel was judged for are the same sins that we're committing in America. And if Israel was judged for apostasy, surely we aren't far behind. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son. Oh, pastor, isn't God love? Oh, yeah, God is love. God is merciful. And God is long-suffering, and we are seeing that right now. But God is also holy and righteous and pure and just, and his justice cannot be restrained forever. And although the wrath of the Lamb, which is talked about in Revelation 6, verse 19, will not be poured out upon this earth, that time of great tribulation, until the bride of the Lamb is taken in the rapture, don't you think for a minute that God might not begin to chastise this nation before that time. He might call on us to be like what Jeremiah was in Jerusalem. He might call on us to defend his holy name in the face of persecution. And let me just encourage you with this, ladies and gentlemen. It will be difficult. It will be a trying time, but trials have brought out the best in Christianity, and the best in America could still be yet to come. This could be our finest hour. If Christians are forced with having to take a stand, there will be no more fence riding, I can assure you. We can rest assured that even in the midst of correction, we can trust God's correction. Not only can we trust His correction, but we can trust His ways. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is more than just a history book. The Bible is more than just a science book, although the history and science in the Bible is perfect and without error. The Bible is more than just a love story, although it does reveal the greatest love story ever told. The Bible is more than just a book of prophecy, although it is filled with prophecy. And we can see, looking back, the fulfilled prophecies. We can see, looking forward, those prophecies yet to be fulfilled. And we can see in our day and age, God's hand still working. So we look in the Middle East. The Bible is more than just a book of salvation, although it does reveal to us the means of receiving the gift of eternal life, which is by faith in Jesus Christ alone. There is no other way. Amen. But the Bible also tells us everything we need to know in life according to His will. Folks, we have the definition of the home outlined in Scripture. We don't need to ask any judge. God tells us how the home is supposed to be. As He gave Eve to Adam, brought them together, said, don't separate, and you raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We see the structure of the home outlined in Ephesians very clearly. We see the direction for child raising and how a child should treat their parents. You don't need to turn on Dr. Phil or Oprah. We've got the Word of God that tells you how you're to raise your children, and children how you're to honor your parents. We have the purpose of government outlined in Scripture. We have recommendations of how to take care of our physical bodies, which are the temple of the Holy Spirit. In fact, Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, according to His divine power, God hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Folks, we've got all the answers right here if we'll get in there and trust His ways. God has told us to work honestly as unto the Lord. Folks, that's just common sense. By the sweat of our brow are we to work. There is nowhere in Scripture that says we're supposed to live off the work of others. There is nowhere in Scripture where it says we're supposed to hope we win the lottery ticket and take our children's milk money and go buy lottery tickets with it. God said, you honor Him, read it in Ephesians chapter 6, by working hard unto the Lord. God worked for 6 days and then He rested and said, all my work is done is good. Folks, why should we think that if our God worked for 6 days in the creative process that we're not supposed to work? You understand what the Bible teaches and live it. Work honestly. Number two, ladies and gentlemen, don't get leveraged into debt. We're going to talk about some very practical things here, but I'm going to probably mess this whole thing up. But never mind, you're going to get it anyway. Don't get leveraged into debt. The Bible says that a borrower becomes a slave to a lender. If you haven't ever read Dave Ramsey's book, I would recommend that you do it. The Bible says that we're to be charitable to those in need. It's not the government's job for welfare. Are they supposed to be neglected? No. But here's the policy. If you can't work, you don't eat. If you're capable of working, you go work. If you're not capable of working, then you are taken care of by your family first, by your church second, and by government never in the Scripture. Hey, boy, the government's ways work so well, don't they? You know, government's so much smarter than God. You know, Lyndon Johnson declared war on poverty in 1960, I think 64 or 65. We've now spent $9 trillion in the war on poverty. It's a good thing we've eliminated it. Be faithful to support the Lord's work. Folks, the most important thing that we need to realize, and all of us, and I promise you, every one of us gets sad when we look at our 401k or investment portfolio. But I've got news for you. Every penny of that's going to stay here. Doesn't matter whether you're Aubrey McClendon and you've lost $2 billion in the last month, or whether you're just Joe, hard-working guy, and lost $500 into his investments over the last month. Every penny is going to stay here. But I can tell you how you can get a guaranteed return on your investment. Invest it in the Lord's work. We had a man pull in here the other day. It was really a blessing. He just got done listening. I guess I was preaching. The messages aren't necessarily from the previous week. We just kind of, Dan kind of pulls them out, and we cut intros and exits and put them on the radio. Preached one the other day, had a deal with the tribulation. Had a guy come knock on our back door, came inside, was so excited, he gave us a check for $500 for the radio ministry. Said, my day revolves around 4:30. Be careful, John. Folks, that's a blessing. We're trying to get truth out there. And I tell you what, that $500 he invested in the radio ministry is better than any $500 he ever invested in Enron. Folks, this message is far different than any of I've ever preached, but as your shepherd and chief watchdog, it's one that must be preached. Understand that we have eyes, we have a brain, we can recognize the times and the seasons, we can recognize the signs of the times. Jesus scolded the Pharisees, saying, you can recognize when a storm's coming, but you can't recognize the signs of the times. Here I am, the Messiah, promised in Scripture, standing right in your midst, and you don't get it. Paul, in his closing verses of his final epistle that he wrote to Timothy, he said at the closing, now by the way, Paul's in prison at this point in time, but in his closing verses he said, Timothy, when you come see me, bring my cloak with you. What was Paul doing? Summertime in Rome, but Paul knew winter was coming. And he called Timothy, said, hey, it's going to get cold here. I know. Would you bring my coat so I can be prepared for winter? Folks, that's just some good biblical common sense. Joseph was down in captivity in Egypt, and he was smart enough to recognize that Almighty God had provided them with some warnings that a famine was coming. And Joseph led Egypt in preparing for that famine. Ladies and gentlemen, we are not asleep. We are not in darkness. We have eyes. We have a brain. We should recognize the signs of the times. And this is no time to panic. There is no panicking in Christianity. That is not our business. But we should be prepared. Let me ask you a brief question. Do any of you have you taken out fire insurance on your home? Anybody here have fire insurance? I thought so. Everybody in here should have fire insurance. Are you looking forward to using it? Have you ever had to use it? Do you hope you never have to? Yeah, exactly. But aren't you glad you've got it just in case you need it? Regardless of who wins this election, I want you to understand the reality of what we face. America is printing money at an incredibly rapid pace. We're entering into obligations that we don't have the money to pay for. We are just printing it and printing it and printing it. And at some point in time, ladies and gentlemen, that is going to come back and bite us on the backside. Right. Give you another warning sign. I'm sure you heard this because it's been publicized by both sides. Senator Biden, after an intelligence briefing at the White House, made the statement about the likelihood of America being challenged within 6 months if Obama is elected president. I've got friends in the Middle East. It's not by a coincidence. I've got Jewish friends in the Middle East, just so there's no misunderstanding there. It is not by accident that there's been an unusual calm right now leading up to the election. But rest assured, the enemy has not gone away. We will be hit again, Lord willing, not on these shores, but it's possible. When I was coming home Friday night, now folks, you're not aware of this. Most people aren't. We just ignore it. Oh, that's nothing. I've still got my car in the driveway. I've got credit on my credit card. I can put gas in the car. I've got some groceries in the refrigerator. I can turn on my television. Life is good. Tomorrow's going to be just like today. Don't you believe it? Coming home from Thomas on Friday night, listening to KTOK, it's the first time I'd noticed it. Homeland Security ran an ad recommending that you have at least 3 days of water and supplies at home just in case of some tragedy happening. Folks, we better be wise enough to have our eyes open and be listening to some of the things that are going on out there. As I said a moment ago, ladies and gentlemen, we do not live in fear, but God has given us considerable warnings. It's time to pay attention. Could these economic trials intensify before the rapture? Absolutely.
We thank you for joining us for today's edition of Exploring the Word, and we look forward to being with you next time for the conclusion of this message entitled, Trust in the Lord. Until next time, may God bless you.
You've been listening to the teaching ministry of Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond. We hope that today's journey in God's Word has been a blessing to you. You can find more sermons and resources at our church's website, www.fairviewbaptistedmond.org, or call 405-348-1745. Join us again each weekday for Exploring the Word from Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond.